Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slap Box Podcast. This is episode 625. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht. I almost said I'm your host, Agent Fox Mulder, but yeah, that is my three-legged cat that is a sidekick. He's hanging out right behind me. He's laying on the couch right behind me. Not on my lap this time, not biting me as I start. That might happen later. Good chance of that. But I've been napping with him. Earlier I napped with him. He laid on me, so maybe he's got it out of his system at the moment. We're cool for the minute, for a minute or two. Speaking of couches, I ordered some more furniture for the downstairs. I'm gonna hopefully give off less serial killer vibes, you know, after living here for 3 years. You know, it might actually look like somebody lives here if you come in through the downstairs. That'll be interesting. I mean, it's a little nervous. I'm a little nervous getting another. I mean, I think this is the actual item. I got it from Ashley Furniture, which that seems like another. I mean, you know, I'm nervous about getting this because I'm afraid the cat might tear it up. But it's kind of funny. The store I went to was the Ashley Furniture, which is a weird thing because my one and only serious relationship, the woman's name, of course, it was Ashley. Actually, the only two women I've actually entered, both named Ashley. But when I was in the relationship with Ashley one, there was a... Every time we would pass an Ashley Furniture, she would say, "That's my store, the Ashley Furniture store." She's like, "That's my store." I feel like I've got bad history with, you know, Ashley's, that it's dangerous. Which is what I guess also drove me to getting a furniture from there. No, really, actually, I was looking at websites. There's two bigger furniture stores that are fairly close to me, that, and they're right next to each other. It's Missouri Furniture and Ashley Furniture. Looking at their websites, I chose more with the Ashley Furniture. But, you know, it's kind of funny, kind of weird to get it from Ashley Furniture. I was like, oh, what's going to happen? I mean, my history with Ashley's. Am I going to meet another Ashley inside the Ashley Furniture? Will there be an Ashley 3? Third time's the charm, right? Maybe that's what I just need to do. I mean, I'm not on the prowl for any relationship, that's for certain. But maybe I just haven't met the right Ashley yet. Anyway, we don't need to go down that road of... histories with women and such. Anyway, or future history. It seems unlikely that's going to happen. I'm pretty content and just me and Agent Fox Mulder here, just chilling and grilling. And now that I'll have some furniture, maybe it'll be, you know, more appealing to be like, oh, maybe I could have a lady friend over. Then again, probably not. Probably not. Probably not going to do that. That's just not my style. Anyway, so I got, I want to say I found the one that I ordered online here. I don't remember the actual, if this is the actual name. I don't have the receipt up here. But this looks like the sofa I purchased. I don't have it yet because they didn't, they have to get the sofa delivered to the store here in town. And then, of course, they will deliver it here. I can't fit this sofa in the back of my Mini Cooper. Pretty certain on that. I mean, I've gotten a fairly large TV in the back of that thing. I've stuffed some nice large things deep inside it. Sofa seems a bit much. Don't see it happening. If I thought it was hard to shift when I had that TV in the back. I also got a rug, though, to help with the cat. I got a shag rug that I'm hoping he likes scratching on that. And I don't think it'll be noticeable if he scratches a bunch of it up. He can go to town on that thing. I'm going to put the rug underneath it. Hopefully that's like draws his ire of with the scratching. Again, I don't want to declaw the fella. I mean, he's an agent. He's an FBI agent. I can't put him through that. They say that like after you declaw them, that, I mean, that's just pain they constantly feel. And he lost a fucking leg. I don't need to add more pain to his life. That, you know, I feel like he might need those claws to, you know, balance sometimes and like kind of get around a little bit since he is missing that one leg up front. I want to give him a fighting chance, you know? And but I went with the faux leather, I guess is how you'd say it. It's not real leather. It's I guess a polyester type material is what it actually is. The one sofa I did pick from there, it's like a theater seating type situation. And it's called a Next Gen Durapella Performance Fabric Dual Power Reclining Sofa. it seats three, and there's not like a divider before in between them. I'd been looking at theater seating that had like dividers between the seats and whatnot. This one, however, it does not have that. However, there's the three seats, and I can lay down on it if I want. That was a big thing. I was like, ooh, hell yeah. I can lay down on it. I mean, it feels nice. It feels real nice. Hopefully, it'll be a bitch to move. I know that. So, if, you know, I do end up moving out of the penthouse here, could be a bitch to move that fucker. I'm thinking it's pretty heavy. I mean, I didn't try to pick it up, but, you know, nowadays, I am a steel worker. So, you know, I've got some guns. I can lift quite a bit of weight. There's a bit of a difference, though, from what I do compared to, like, what a mover does. Whereas, I, you know, pick real heavy shit up and toss it over my head. I don't pick heavy shit up and then walk with it. You pick it up and just throw it real fast. That's the idea. That being said, though, this stuff is pretty comfy. It was on sale for, I want to say, like $1,800. They're just starting their, I guess, Labor Day sales. I want to say it was for Labor Day, which, you know, we got a couple weeks yet. But it just started like the day or 2 days or a day before maybe I went in there. Apparently I got lucky on that. It was like 17 or 1800. I forgot what the total price was over $2,000 with a rug. Which, you know, again, pretty nervous spending that kind of money on furniture that, you know, the cat might just tear up. I could have done the warranty. But I skipped that. it just seems a hassle to have to replace things and whatnot. I'm gonna put caution to wind without the warranty. I'm afraid though. Yeah, the Agent Fox Mulder. I hope I get him on board. Now they do have on Amazon, and I'm sure you could probably get it at Walmart and other stores. The cat protector, like sofa protector shit, where it's like clear sheets that you can attach to your couch by adhesive. However, they recommend to not put it on faux leather, because, you know, I would imagine if you take it off, it ruins the fucking fake leather or real leather. So I don't imagine I'll be putting that on there, but I did look up and find like a sofa cover. I need to, before I order that, I'll have to make sure I know what the exact measurements are on the sofa there. And I do believe, though, you know, I'll put that cover on when I'm not using it. And I'll probably have to wash it because I'm sure it'll get all kinds of cat hair on it. But if I put the cover on it, hopefully, I mean, hopefully, the I'll have to really look at the measurements. I'm not really, like, the covers I saw on Amazon really seemed like maybe it would fit a very specific couch as opposed to what I'm getting. But, man, it is super comfy. I mean, I guess just the two seats on the outside recline. I don't know. I don't think the center one does, but the center one does drop down. It drops down, and it's got cup holders and light. And the two seats on the outside both have storage spaces in them, so you can put remotes, whatever, have, you know, sex toys, whatever you need in there. Some lube, some Crocs, some bait and shoes. You know what I'm saying? Just kind of store those in there. I don't see myself baiting on this, but, you know, we'll see what happens. I mainly do that in the bathroom, especially with having the cat here. I don't like seeing him, having him watch me baiting. It's just fucking weird. So, you know, I generally go into the bathroom for that, or I'll coax him into another room. Like, hey, check it out. I'll pull open the blinds so you can look out the window. And then, and then all of a sudden, you know, I just close the door in that room. And then I'll go in the other room. I'm like, all right, I got my baiting room ready. And but anyway. Yeah, there is charging ports and stuff on the couch. I don't know. I'm hesitant. I figure there's a good chance that those charging ports and stuff aren't going to last real long. I know in this desk I'm currently using, which I got a great deal on. I believe this was a Black Friday deal, or maybe it was a Prime Day. Fuck, I don't remember now. It's been a while. It might have been Black Friday. I know the record player stand I have downstairs, that was a Black Friday deal. That's a cool little record player stand. But anyway, this desk I am using has an outlet on it. And it's got lights and what, and whatnot and all that good stuff. However, when I plug that fucking outlet in that's connected to the desk, I plug the desk in and it's got the outlets and stuff on the desk. There's a horrible buzz that comes through there. And that just doesn't sound good. It's annoying. And also, I feel like it's it's got me concerned that, you know, I don't know, the thing might, like, catch fire. I'm not sure. It just probably not. But I feel like they probably didn't do the greatest job of maybe grounding it. I don't know. There's something weird going on. And I am wondering with this couch if it'll or sofa. I don't know what the difference between a sofa and a couch is. But I'm thinking the outlets on there might be kind of same sort of situation. That kind of shitty. But we'll see. You know, I'll keep it plugged in. It'll be nice to have like a phone charger thing. I mean, that's the only reason I really want the outlets on there. And of course, it's got the lights in the middle thing. But I've got fucking lights above me. I have the ceiling fan right above it with some good lights in it. I shouldn't need extra lighting. And, I've got lighting the downstairs. There's plenty of lights. There's more than just the ceiling fan. I mean, there's lights all over. It is not a big priority. Really nice to have, I guess, the cup holders in there. So it's not like I'll need like a table in front of me or anything like that. So I've got options. There's plenty of storage places in there too. It's like, and I'm thinking, what the fuck am I going to store in there? Other than, like, you know, a spot for like the TV remote seems to be like the only thing. And maybe I'll, you know, eventually just bring a console or something or two downstairs. to play video games on. I mean, if I've got the sweet couch, I might actually want to play video games down there as opposed to now playing it upstairs. I mean, of course, I'm going to play my PC games on my PC upstairs. But, I mean, I've got several consoles. I could hook up one of my several consoles and just play that. Maybe hook up some of my old school, do some 64 or something, you know? We shall see. We shall see. There's a lot of options. A lot of options. And maybe I'll actually have a few people over now to hang out. It won't be so uninviting anymore. It'll be like, hey, come over. Have a seat. The one thing, though, would have been nice having the dividers in between. Like, it's not like you got to get so personal with people that come over. Although, again, if I just have one person over, we can drop that middle seat. We're good to go. There's a little bit more. Eventually, maybe I'll get like a standalone seat. And then maybe do like a riser above it. I'll see what happens with how much space I have left after I put that sofa in, and you know, maybe in the future put another chair in there. I don't think I really have a whole lot of room to do that, but I think if I position the sofa enough or well enough that it shouldn't be too bad to have another chair like behind it and then like raised up. Yes, I don't really know for sure. That would be something probably future down the road, like, you know, a couple years. Hopefully I pay some of the debt off that home equity loan and whatnot, so I don't just keep adding to that situation. But yeah, I guess that's the bigger. I don't know if this is big news, but I want to say maybe I got it before the last podcast, but I did order, after seeing Deadpool Wolverine, I did order some Wolverine claws. I got them in. They're kind of cool. I mean, they're metal claws. It was only like $30-ish on Amazon. They're awkward to wear. They're not very comfortable, but it's cool that they're metal. They're not sharp at all, which it seems dangerous to have those, and they're sharp. I did think that, you know, hey, it'd be kind of cool to just keep them near me in the bedroom, just if anybody were to ever break in, and then, you know, like, I just pull out my Wolverine claws on them, you know, and then just fucking... Let's go, bub. Just fucking run. I figure just the visual of somebody running at you with some Wolverine claws might be enough to go, okay, this guy's fucking nuts. Let's get the fuck out of here. Without me having to hit him with it. Which, to be fair, it could be a her, too. Whoever breaks in. I don't want to be misogynistic about who my potential... robber would be. Anyway. Though, I mean, if I was really concerned about using it for self-defense, I would probably want to sharpen them. Though, again, like, they're fucking awkward. I'm going to end up, like, slicing myself open if that's the case. I got some guns, though. I feel like as long as guns as in some, you know, muscles that I'm rocking. I don't have, the only gun I have is a paintball gun, and I don't think that's really like a really good self-defense thing. I feel like I have a strong chance of roughing up whoever would come in without using Wolverine claws or a gun. You know, but if they have a gun, that could be a problem. That could be an issue. Might just be like, all right, here's my Gibsons. don't hurt my cat, you fucker. He's already missing a leg. Leave him be. Don't take another leg, you sick bastards. Anyway. I wouldn't tell him about the Gibsons. I mean, I would try to steer him away from those. I'd be like, here's this new couch, this new sofa I got. It looks wonderful. Let me help you take it out. Yeah, and then just, I mean, the Gibsons, if they make it in and it gets to my upstairs, it's probably going to be aware that, although maybe they're not guitar experts, maybe I could steer them to the cheaper ones. Like, look at this beautiful, semi-hollow, Korean-made Epiphone Les Paul. So beautiful. It is the most prized possession I own. And look at this. Made in Mexico. Stratocaster. That I got over 20 years ago. Oh, baby. It is worth a fortune. Let me tell you. At least $7,000. Go to Reverb and you're golden, sir. You are golden. Maybe I'll sell them on my Alvarez 12-string that bridge is splitting. The wood is splitting on the bridge. I believe you can still just get those. It's a nice guitar. It's a fun little guitar. And if you want like a cheaper 12-string, that was built in the 70s in Japan. And they run about 150. Last I heard, maybe they're more now just because, you know, everything's just more expensive now. But you get a used one for like 150 or so, which is about what I spent on it like, I don't know, 15 years ago. It was quite a long time ago. I bought that. But be like, look at this. Beautifully made in Japan. 12-string. 12-strings are expensive, my friend. Do not look at these Gibsons here. Those are fake. Those are Chipsons, sir. Those are Chipsons. They were made in China. I know they look really good. They look really good. They're Chipsons. Man, you're going to get ripped off if you go trying to sell this. You are not going to get any money for it. These are fake Gibsons. It is Chipsons, sir. Chipsons. Do not pay attention to the Chipsons. Not worth your time. That makes me almost feel like I need, like, get a junkyard cat like they did in Always Sunny in Philadelphia with the, theirs was Agent Jack Bauer, whereas, you know, I've got Agent Fox Mulder here, but get a junkyard cat. Maybe you'd fuck their shit up, you know? And if they being whoever were to break in and be like, holy shit, is that a junkyard cat? Or, I mean, that cat's got some crazy mange. Think it's foaming at the mouth. Or, you know, a good thing for a townhouse, I would imagine, would be, you know, a Bengal tiger. That would be nice. Just get a Bengal tiger. I can't imagine to break into a home and then just see like a Bengal tiger just walking around. Well, I think I'd be way more worried about my furniture then if I had a fucking Bengal tiger. Like, there's no way my couches would survive a fucking Bengal tiger. Is there like a miniature Bengal tiger? I guess there's Bengal cats that their patterns look quite a bit like something like a Bengal tiger. But yeah, from what I understand, they're a hassle too. I love how they look. I mean, I'm just a fan of cats in general. I mean, but they're very hyperactive cats. I feel like even the Bengal cat, you know, the small domestic cat would probably want to tear my shit up. And from what I understand, I mean, those are cats. Not saying Agent Mulder is not smart. He's a very intelligent kitty. But they say, like, Bengal cats are, like, super smart and will fucking figure out how to get into everything. Much like foxes. They super intelligent creatures that will really, like any enclosure you put them in, they'll find a way out. They'll find a way to drive your car. You know, all kinds of crazy stuff. That sounds legit, right? I'm totally a Fox expert. I don't think I could have an actual fox as a pet, though. Those things, I love the look of a fox. I mean, they're foxy, you know what I'm saying?
Foxy.
There's a reason why that's known as a word for being, like, sexy. Ooh, foxy lady. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, Jimmy? Mr. Hendricks. Damn, foxes are make some of the most annoying fucking sounds I've ever heard from an animal. You know, like Agent Fox Mulder here, not a real fox. Again, he is a domestic cat, also not a Bengal tiger. He's a fairly large cat for being a domestic cat, but you know, he's like, I don't know, 12, 13 pounds. I'm not sure exactly how much he weighs, but he's a good size domestic cat. He does meow a lot, and it's probably my fault because I talk to him all the time. They say that, you know, cats that end up talking a lot is because their owners talk to them. Seeing as though, you know, I live here with only him. And I'm kind of always been a weird person that kind of talks to themselves anyway. So having another creature around me, I'm going to talk to it. It seems like he understands what I want some of the time. Not all the time. But he definitely, he will chirp back at me. He'll chirp, I mean, chirps at, you know, doesn't really chirp at me. But if he sees like a bird outside or something, that's when he does like the chirping thing. He will meow at me. Unfortunately, here lately, I did cut back his food intake a little, a while ago now. It was well over a month ago, I think. Whereas the automatic feeder, it's got, you go by portions. And I just dropped it down like one portion. A portion's not much. Then, of course, you know, you're not feeding a cat much. It seemed like he was okay with it for a while, but here lately, like, I have the automatic feeder just set for, like, 3 a.m., which is, you know, awfully fucking early. I don't get up until, like, 4. You know, I get up later on the weekends, but if I'm not working. But I used to get up at, like, 3 a.m. when I worked over at Magnet full-time. I would get up at 3 a.m. because most of the days I was starting work at 5 a.m. So I would set up, I would feed him a lot of times at 3 a.m. just by getting up. And when I got the auto feeder, I just set it for that. And then I didn't want to fuck with the routine and just change that time when I started working at Can-Am. So I've got a set going like really early. But he here lately has been waking me up before it's even like at least like 2 in the morning. Which again, the feeder's not going off till like 3. It's like, yeah, dude, I'm not. It's gonna feed you. You don't need to like lose your shit. He's been losing his mind at like 2 in the morning. He'll just keep meowing to the point where I have to just go and get him out of the bedroom and then close the door. You know, keep the fan going so it kind of dulls out the sound. Hopefully my neighbors don't hear him. He's been like ruthless with it. And I kind of set it up to where hopefully he's got little energy in the night, which I know is against the nature of a cat because they're nocturnal. But, you know, I feed him at 3 a.m. and then he's got a small meal. It's only like 2 portions or something like, I think it's 2 portions. Whereas the normal portions on the other two, there's 3 meals he gets a day. There's one of the one at the 3 a.m. is like 5 portions, 4 or 5. I don't know. I'd have to look at the thing. And then the two meal portion is like around 11:30. Yeah, it's 11:30. I have it set up. And then he gets another one at 2:30. That's the more the full meal. And so then, so if I'm, it's nice to have that 11:30 one because I'll get a little bit of food in him before, like I would say, like eat my lunch. So he's not bugging me quite as much to get my food. And then, it's not that big of a gap between that and then the meal at 2:30, but after the 2:30, I mean, he's not getting any other food other than some treats, like at the end of the night. I give him a couple of treats after grooming him. But my idea is like, well, he's not going to have much energy at nighttime, so he's going to chill out and not be running all over the place making noise. Which works pretty good, I guess. But he's an older cat. I think he's just tired all the time. But he does sleep with me through most of the night. I don't know if that has to do with how what time I feed him or what have you. But I'm just a... The thought is there, like, if I feed him at night, then he's going to be fucking all energetic and shit at nighttime. I don't want that. I want to encourage him to be all fucking running all over the place, making a bunch of noise when it's bedtime. So he's living on my schedule. Anyway. I just watched last night. I had to get up early this morning because I agreed to run with my friend Thad today at 7 a.m. He was going to do like 18 to 20. I'm guessing he finished the 18 to 20. I'm not sure exactly how far he went. I haven't talked to him since running, but I only did, 5 miles with him. I did 10 and walked a little bit at the last mile and a half. Walked some of it, as my legs were fucking dead. Anyway, so yeah, I had to get up early. I did nap after working. You know, it was a rough work week. I mean, well, it wasn't too terrible, but you know, I worked a little bit overtime and. I was pretty tired after work yesterday, and I ended up napping for a while before I would end up going to bed. And I didn't end up actually going to lay down to go to sleep until like 11:30. But I wasn't tired. I wasn't fucking tired. And ended up watching Starship Troopers, which I haven't seen in many years. It's been back on Netflix for a while now. I feel like I probably should have watched it when I was getting into Helldivers 2. Which is basically Starship Troopers, which is a cool game, but I just really haven't played it that much, and it's been quite a while since I've attempted to play it now. Man, it's probably been a couple of decades since I'd seen Starship Troopers, which I believe is like 27 years old now. I mean, it's pushing 30 years. Like, it's a Paul Verhoeven film, which I am a fan of one Mr. Paul Verhoeven. I think he created one of the greatest films of all time. That being RoboCop. The original fucking RoboCop. What an amazing film. And also, he did the original Total Recall film, which is another damn fine film. It is just so much that I enjoy about it. Just the violence, the ultra gore in it. The humor, the dark humor is so good in that. But of course, Paul Verhoeven also did Starship Troopers. It's an entertaining movie. I don't think it's not anywhere to the degree I would say of Total Recall or fucking RoboCop. Again, those two films, fucking amazing, especially RoboCop. RoboCop is, whew, I would say for like an action film, I might just say RoboCop is my number one favorite. I'm not saying it's my favorite movie of all time. That's probably Steve Martin's The Jerk. At least it was. But I'd still say it's probably still my number one. I mean, I love The Jerk. But anyway. Fucking RoboCop, man. Starship Troopers. Yeah, I hadn't seen that fucking ever. Definitely, you know, the graphics. Special effects. I mean, they're not really using graphics per se, but like the special effects are definitely dated. Again, the movie's almost 30 years old. It looks a little rough. I think like the effects and stuff in RoboCop and I would say Total Recall still hold up fairly well. Starship Troopers, I mean, I get. I think it's just mainly just the. I don't know, so much the effects, the look, the aesthetics, I would say, just look pretty crazy. Most of the effects is just look at like the computer stuff. Anytime you see a computer screen stuff, that shit looks dated, which I guess, you know, it did like in RoboCop, but you don't see as much of it in there. The suits and stuff they're wearing are a bit crazy in Starship Troopers. I always want to say like Super Troopers too. No, different movie. Very different movie. You know, Starship Troopers does have like a bit of that dark humor going on that RoboCop did as well. And of course, Total Recall did. I would say RoboCop had like the best dark humor of the three. But I feel like the cast, I mean, they got some good cast members in Starship Troopers, but I would say like just, I don't know, I mean, compared to like RoboCop and stuff, you do have like a few of the people from Total Recall in there. At least one of the big bads from Total Recall. I don't know the actor's name off the top of my head. And he plays the teacher in Starship Troopers, and then he plays a commanding officer that dies later in the film. I've seen at least one of the other sequels for Starship Troopers as well. I'm pretty sure Paul Verhoeven was just the original one. I'd forgotten, though, how fucking chiseled Casper Van Dien, was for Starship Troopers. I mean, he was like old school Hollywood kind of build in that movie. And that's definitely like, ooh, hello, Casper Van Dien. And, there's some attractive people in there. I mean, and you got, totally forgotten, I guess, the, Seth Gilliam, which, I didn't really know was David till looking it up currently, that, he's Gabriel in The Walking Dead. I did not realize that he was in there. And holy shit, I didn't realize this is who this was. The biology teacher early in the film. Because she had a lot of makeup and shit on. She was like all scarred up. I didn't realize that was fucking Rue McClanahan from Golden Girls. That's fucking amazing. That is fucking dope. I love that. I love that so much. Oh, I am saddened I did not know that beforehand. And Dean, it was exciting to see Dean Norris. There was so many great like people in there. I mean, they got a pretty strong cast in Starship Troopers. I mean, you get NPH, which I remembered NPH and Casper Van Dien and Denise Richards being in there. But holy shit, I didn't remember Dean. Of course, you know, when I watched it, I didn't know who the fuck Dean was. This was, you know, about a decade before Breaking Bad. A little over a decade, I guess. I want to say Breaking Bad was like 2009-ish? 9-ish? Yeah, anyway. But there was Amy Smart's in there as like a brief, very brief. She's like another pilot, in the film. But there's quite a few people that make short appearances. I can't. I'm a little tongue-tied. That make little appearances, and it was before a lot of them was just before they were had much of a role in anything. So it was definitely interesting to see some of that. It's just it looks so dated now. I mean, the film is like fucking 30 years old. It is funny though how the whole movie is just a propaganda for joining the military to kill bugs, kill them all. And then, of course, in the end, you find out, ooh, they can think. These bugs are intelligent creatures. At least they have, like, brain bugs that'll fuck some shit up. But, yeah, I mean, it's... I was never, like, a huge fan of that one. I mean, I do love Paul Verhoeven. But, it's an entertaining movie. There's something kind of cheesy. I mean, there's some definitely cheese to it. NPH being a psychic where he can read minds. It's a little crazy. But yeah. Pretty great. I was trying to see who that actor's name was that played the villain in Damn It and Total Recall, and then he's the teacher in Starship Troopers, but I am not seeing. It's just Michael Ironside. That's fucking, I knew that fucking name. God damn it. How could I not remember Michael Ironside? Dude's a legend. Fucking Michael Ironside. Fucking legend. He was great in RoboCop. I mean, that's all the legendary, or not RoboCop, sorry, fucking Total Recall. He's just got just a great... Oh, shit. He was in Scanners. I totally forgot. I haven't seen that movie in, probably like over 30 years. Oh, that came out the year I was born. So, fantastic movie. Another fucking fan. And Top Gun? I mean, this dude is a fucking legend. How could I forget Michael Ironside's name? This is just not wrong. He was a great character in Starship Troopers. He is missing a hand. He has a robotic hand, and then he fucking gets his legs just taken off. And he has Casper Van Dien just like pop a shot in him. Do it, Rico. Casper Van Dien still looks fairly good. I mean, there's something like old school movie star kind of look to the man. You know, you don't get that nowadays. You don't see, I guess Glenn Powell has a bit of that ish, but there is something like a old school vibe about Casper Van Dien. Gotta say, not like the greatest actor, that Starship Troopers. I mean, they had Denise Richards as one of the leads. Also, not one of the best actors out there. I would say also, I mean, she was definitely attractive back in the day, but I would say one of the worst Bond girls like ever. She played like a nuclear physicist. It was one of the Pierce Brosnan movies. And I did not buy her. I want to say she was a nuclear physicist. The way she read the lines and stuff in that movie. Like, I totally did not buy her as a nuclear physicist. She's probably a really cool person. Even though she was, married to Charlie Sheen. Nothing against... Charlie's probably a pretty interesting guy to talk to. If he's not all whacked out on the tiger's blood. Which, I've listened to him... I've listened to Charlie Sheen, like, in podcasts and stuff. And, like, he is actually... loves movies. Like, he is very knowledgeable in movie history and stuff, and it was good, actually pretty cool to listen to why he was into like baseball when he did like the major league movies. And I believe it was when he was a kid, and his dad, Martin Sheen, was making the movie Apocalypse Now. Martin had like injured himself somehow during the filming of that, if I remember correctly. This is from years ago, hearing the story. But he had done rehab. Had to do rehab, and one of the things he did for like rehab was like play catch with Charlie, and then that like became like Charlie's like love affair with baseball. I don't know where cocaine came in. winning. I don't know where the cocaine came in with the porn stars. That was probably a little bit later. Probably nothing to do with his dad. Though maybe. I don't know. Oh, I do love some Charlie Sheen films, though. You know, like his early films. Like, holy shit. Charlie was fucking... I mean, Platoon. That's a good one. Back before Oliver Stone completely lost his shit and went completely crazy. Hanging out with Vladimir Putin and stuff, you know. Putting out Russian propaganda. Platoon's a great film. I mean, one of the best Charlie Sheen, which I need to go back and watch because I haven't watched this in fucking forever. I need to go watch Men at Work because him and Emilio in that, fucking fantastic. And where they find the dead body in the trash. The person had been murdered because they're trash men. And just a fantastic film. Just a fantastic film. And there's no Denise Richards in it as a nuclear physicist. Like, look, I can believe that, you know, a woman could be a nuclear physicist. I'm pretty sure that there are quite a few women that are. I believe I follow at least one or two of them on fucking YouTube. I just have a problem seeing Denise Richards. I just want to point that out as a nuclear physicist. At least in that movie. She's been in some decent movies, but I just, you know, part of buying into a movie and enjoying it is just believing in the actors and what they're selling you, the lie that they're telling you. And I have a hard time with that, with Miss Richards. Now I need to go back and watch that Pierce Brosnan film, Bond. The World Is Not Enough. That is the Bond film that she's in. Which, again, yeah, watching that, at the, now I feel like I need to watch or read the reviews and see if I'm the only one that feels this. I can't be the only one that felt that way about that movie. Like, there was some entertaining Pierce Brosnan movies, Bond movies. That one I did not really care for. I really love Goldeneye. I almost said Goldfinger. That would be Sean Connery. If you shoot me, Goldfinger, the bullet will pass through me into the fuselage and suck you out like a piece of ham. The greatest line from Goldfinger is, I did not do a very good Connery there. great fucking line. Anyway, I mean, he did some. I think the Daniel Craig. I think, you know, I used to think Connery. I mean, I was brought up in a household. My father loved Sean Connery in general, but like thought, you know, the great. I was taught that Sean Connery was the greatest Bond. Which he's in some fantastic Bond movies. But then you see shit like From Russia with Love and stuff, and it's like, oh man, he seems like he really hates women. I mean, Goldfinger's pretty fucking great. Dr. No. There's some pretty great Connery ones. However, like fucking Daniel Craig like killed it as James Bond. I want to say Casino Royale. It's probably my favorite Bond film. I think that is absolutely fucking fantastic. Anyway, let's see. Let's see what's... Whoa, holy shit. This movie is rated more positively than I would have thought. wow. Okay. It is given a 6.4 stars out of 10 on IMDb, which I would have figured it would have been maybe 6, probably more of like a 5 something. I mean, really, I probably should need to watch the movie again before I completely shit all over it, because mainly I just remember Denise Richards out of it. Like the top review that's listed gives it a 7 out of 10. Says this one has a true sinister villain, but his character ain't developed well. Did they intentionally word it so horribly? Yeah, this is... Oh, holy shit, they wrote a long review. I'm not reading that whole review. I thought it was just like a couple of sentences. No, they... Next one says, terribly underrated. 7 out of 10. There's a lot of 7 out of 10s here. Oh, here we go. This is somebody that... Oh, shit. My God. People are really writing some long reviews on here. What the fuck? As you know, another one, I like the Terry Hatcher one that again, I don't remember the name of it, that Pierce Bronson was in. 9 out of 10. What the fuck did they put in all the good reviews at the top here? 9 out of 10 here. The World Is Not Enough is another fine Pierce Bronson James Bond film. Here's a 4 out of 10. Maybe they're gonna actually have some of the same views here. This is a review from Technically Twisted. I feel like we're technically going to have a lot of the same opinions here, but maybe not. 4 out of 10 here. Bond, dull Bond. Call me crazy, but I wasn't that impressed with this. This was written in 1999, so this is right when it was put out. So this was a fresh take on it when the movie was new. It says, call me crazy, but I wasn't that impressed with this latest installment in the James Bond series. I thought the plot was pedestrian, the action scenes dull, and the two Bond women delivered completely inept performances. Well, Sophie Marceau was okay, which I'll say that. But Denise Richards was really bad. Okay, it wasn't just me. The only thing worth watching when she was on screen was when she was in a tank top or wet t-shirt. The villain played by Robert Carlyle was underused, and one of the only things that managed to save it was John Cleese. For the brief time he was on the screen, I know a lot of people who think this is the best Bond ever. Wow. But everyone says that about something that is new. If I were you, I'd wait for the video because there are so many other good films to see before going to this one. Here's hoping the Bond franchise dies, but this one is making a bundle, so tough luck for that hope. Just wait a few years, dude, and Casino Royale is going to come out. It was like 2006. You got to wait 7 years, and you're going to get just the best Bond movie ever. Anyway, I want to say it came out in 2006, because I believe I saw it with my first Ashley. Bring it back around to the beginning of this podcast. Anyway. And there was one, here's a review from 2000, also a negative review. It seems like the more older the reviews, like it seems like people like it more now than when they first saw it initially. Anyway, this is by Lee Hanan. Anyway, 1 out of 10. They really didn't like this film. The World Is Not Enough to make me watch this film twice. My comments are quite simple. This is quite possibly the worst Bond film ever. I wouldn't say that. There's some absolute shit Bond films. Anyway, it says, yes, with Bond films, we are used to outrageous plots. Unbelievable, though always entertaining. Example, Christopher Walken in A View to Kill. Villains, but over the top... unbelievable villains, but at least there would be something like a story. The directors and writers would get together to give the inevitable car chase / skydiving / skiing, etc. scene from relevance to the plot, but not this one. Tomorrow Never Dies was poor, but this was awful. Bond will be back. I don't care. There's another one. Rouse Dower says, remember when Bond films were good? Holy shit. I mean, this is... Fuck. Okay. I don't think I'm going to be reading this whole review, but... This was written in 2000, so it was not too long after it had come out. But it says a lot of people have already commented intelligently here on the general suckitude, there's suckitude of this movie. I would just add a few thoughts. It's true that the recent Bond films are choking on the formula, but it's not the idea of a formulaic Bond film that's at fault here. Indeed, the Bond formula is the most established, specific franchised formula in film history, complete with obligatory plot twists, locale changes, and even obligatory dialogue and mandatory scenes, but that's not the problem. The problem is that the inbred idiots in the Broccoli family who own the Bond franchise... and who have final script and creative authority choose, I think deliberately, to give us Bond films of the lowest common denominator. Give it a few years, guys. I'm telling you, give it a few years. Wait for Daniel Craig. Trying to maximize the bottom line profit by making the films as dumb and over the top as possible, they choose to remain faithful only to those aspects of the formula that would seem to guarantee commercial success. Those formula points are... 1. Action set pieces that are determined to one-up all previous Bond action set pieces in terms of craziness, speed, and death-defying stunts, but to the point where they lose all credibility. For example, Pierce's speedboat chase in Twine or, I guess The World Is Not Enough. They're just abbreviating it, Twine. Or his motorcycle leap off the cliff and into the plane cockpit in GoldenEye. That's just fantastic, all right? I just shook my head in disbelief when I saw that speedboat chase, which was way over the top to begin with, morph into a hot air balloon stunt. I could almost hear the Broccoli family having a round table discussion saying, hey, then we could move the action into a balloon, huh? Isn't that nuts? Who wouldn't love to see a Bond in a hot air balloon? By contrast, just about any car or boat chase from the Connery era is much simpler, more plausible, and ultimately more fun to watch on repeat viewings because it won't dissolve into farce. I know, I love the fucking craziness of like the stunts. Okay, here we go. Number 2 is A Beautiful Woman with a Funny Name. Hey, I love Bond girls as much as anyone else, and the funny names are great, but didn't they used to act better and have more to do and be sophisticated? Denise Richards seems to be best suited for a poster. She's a respected nuclear physicist, like I'm an Olympic figure skater. Which, that's... There's more. This review goes on for a while. I'm just going to end it there, I think. There's at least a couple people on here that seem to realize that Denise Richards is pretty bad in that film. Though, then again, there are a lot... hold on. There is, I want to read this one at least a little bit. This is Drew MCD 2011 is his name. This is from 2011, the review. My favorite Bond film. The fuck is wrong with you, Drew? This is after Casino Royale came out, when he wrote this review. So he saw possibly the greatest Bond film to ever be made up until this point. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know who the next Bond's going to be. And I don't want to, like, put out, like, guesses who I think it should be, you know, who it should be, whatever. I just want to enjoy. I just think it's hard for me to make that decision because, like, I thought Daniel Craig, like, really knocked it out of the park as Bond. And the Casino Royale is so dark and fantastic. Which, you know, there was some other decent ones he put out, and I enjoyed, like, the other ones. But fuck me, Casino Royale, the fucking best. 10 out of 10. Anyway. This is Drew's favorite Bond film. The World Is Not Enough has to be my favorite James Bond film. It seems that Pierce Brosnan's Bond films have the longest teasers. It's the pre-credit sequences in the series. And the River Thames chase was a brilliant start, not to mention well-filmed with the London background. The action scene that stands out from them all in this film is the helicopter attack on the Caspian Sea. The plot is very interesting with twists and turns with all the oil involvement. And Pierce perhaps gives his finest Bond performance in his four outings. I would disagree. Robert Carlyle makes a chilling villain as Renard. He's already dead and can't feel pain. But the biggest highlight of Twine... Why, everybody's like abbreviating this. What the fuck? The biggest highlight of The World Is Not Enough is the two leading women. Wait a minute. What the fuck is wrong with... What is wrong with you, Drew? Sophie Marceau, not bad. But he's including... He is saying the two leading women, Sophie Marceau and Denise Richards. Marceau is very well cast as villainous Electra King and is perhaps the best Bond villainess since Thunderball's Fiona Volpe. I don't know about that either. She wasn't bad. But holy fuck. It says, Richards is a gorgeous actress, and she's very charming and fun as a heroine, Dr. Christmas Jones. I forgot that was her name. These are two of the most beautiful and sexiest Bond girls in the series. You are going to love both of them. With its well-staged action, epic plot, Pierce's wonderful performance, and two brilliant Bond girls, The World Is Not Enough, or Twine, as they write here, is a Bond adventure both Bond fans and non-Bond fans will treasure. No. I cannot believe that, I mean, it seemed like a serious thing. He really thought Denise Richards knocked it out of the park there. I'm going to say we watch different movies. Again, I haven't seen this film, The World Is Not Enough, in many years. I might actually have that one on DVD. I think I've got a couple of the Pierce Brosnan. I think I have a disc with GoldenEye and possibly another one or two of the Bronson ones on there. I could be wrong. Because I think I got GoldenEye after I had went to Russia the first time when I realized, like, holy fuck, I was on the streets in St. Petersburg, where the tank chase in GoldenEye happened. I was like, holy fucking. I had the Bond theme going through the head, like, ding, 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 ding. Yeah, anyway. So I had to watch GoldenEye after that. It's like, holy fuck, it is GoldenEye. Which is one of the first American movies, actually, to be filmed in Russia, at least partially in Russia. Whenever after the Soviet Union collapsed. And I don't think we're going to be filming any there for a long time now. But there's some kind of news about bad relations with Russia these days. I don't know. I may have mentioned it before the podcast. Some bad stuff. We don't need to get into what's going on over there. Anyway, I didn't mention earlier, I do believe, still fairly early, I'm going to make a trip out to Brentwood, not California. I'm not going to go visit where Nicole Brown Simpson was killed. I'm going to go to Brentwood, Missouri, which isn't too terribly far from here, less than an hour's drive, and go pick up some RAM for this computer, which maybe I did talk about at the beginning of the show. Fuck, I don't even remember. I've been talking for over an hour now. I'm going to get some RAM. I'm going to go to a micro center. I'm going to be going up there solo. But I did message my buddy Pee-wee just kind of go like, hey, I'm doing micro center. I know he does have his kids this weekend, so, you know. I mean, I'd be down for, like, taking them along, but I don't know how well they do at hanging out at Micro Center. And I don't know that he needs to, you know, go to Micro Center. I mean, it's hard to go to that place and not spend money, but I have some money to spend. We've been working quite a bit of overtime and stuff, and I'm trying to forget the fact that I do have extra money in the bank account too, as well, with the home equity loan stuff in there. And I do plan on spending most of that to put back into paying off the loan. Anyway, I'm going to upgrade the RAM. They've always got sales going on there, and it does look like they've got some sales going on today. So I should be able to get some good deals on some RAM. I can't go with like the newest RAM. I know I need to go to I need to get the DDR4, as I have a bit of an older motherboard. So I can't get like too crazy with the RAM. I'm going to just get completely different. Like I'm not going to just like put four sticks. I've got two sticks of RAM currently in this PC. And it's 16 gig. I'm going to double it. My plan is to double it. We'll see what kind of deals they have. But I figure I'll go with 32. I don't need to go like overboard with it. So I do have some issues where it does like to crash when I'm running like multiple things. So I figure going to 32 should make a world of difference. I'm hoping. I feel like I should at least see some performance upgrade from it. But I'm going to buy two different sticks of RAM. I'm not going to be concerned about what I currently have in there. Because I'm not going to just add them together. I'm not like a complete expert on how RAM works. Before I understand if you, there can be issues with stuff not working if you put in two separate types of RAM, even if it's like the same brand, if they're different speeds, like it's going to take the lowest speed and use the lower speed of the RAM if you, you know, put in multiple different speeds and stuff. And so I don't want to fuck around with all that. So I'm just going to get like two sticks of RAM, which it looks like that you get some pretty decent deals. I'm probably get around with like $50, maybe a little bit more, depending on what I get, and be able to do a pretty good job with doing better performance here. We'll see what happens. And hopefully I don't make any other decisions on buying anything too crazy when I'm at Micro Center, because that store just is too exciting to go into. I mean, it's like a callback to another age and time when like retail stores, you had a retail store for, you know, everything. And so if you wanted to buy something like PC related, or, you know, I don't remember there ever being a PC store like that big and involved. Having that exist is just, I didn't know about it until like last year or whatever. I'm just fucking just amazed by this store, and there's always a fuck ton of people in there. To have a brick and mortar store where you can go in like day of, you don't have to fucking order the shit. Go in there, just pick it up and go home with it. And they've got people there that you can ask questions to and like have them answered correctly. is pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Because again, nowadays, most shit, you know, you buy on the internet. At least most of the stuff I do. I mean, groceries I buy, I go physically in person. I go buy that shit. I mean, I went into Ashley Furniture store and, you know, bought a sofa, but sofa wasn't there. I still got to get it delivered and shit. They got to send it. They don't keep inventory on all that shit. They got a big showroom. Basically, I mean, you got all kinds of options. They got some pretty cool shit in there, but you know, furniture can get pretty expensive. But, man, there was this really awesome fucking green chair there, but it was, I think, a couple of grand. I was like, man, I can't spend a couple of grand on like one chair. Man, it's fucking awesome. And the sales lady, Cindy, that was walking me around and showing me my options, she was like, oh yeah, that's my favorite chair. That chair is fucking awesome. It is such a cool chair. Damn it. It was a really cool chair. It would look weird though if I got that chair plus this couch. Like if I eventually, you know, I got to find that green chair again. I got a gray sofa, and it just wouldn't look right with this green chair. It would just look out of place. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up because I am planning on going to Brentwood, and I've still got a fair amount of caffeine in my system, I would imagine. A little bit left over because I had a Monster before doing this, a while before doing the show, and it was Dreamsicle flavored. You know, I try not to promote people to drinking energy drinks because the shit is super bad for you. But, I mean, it's pretty cool. I'm a fan of the Dreamsicles, just the flavor in general. Like, they've got Twizzlers does, like, the Dreamsicle-flavored Twizzlers. I think it's Twizzlers. It's a licorice of some sort. They got, like, there's, like, a cream-filled one that tastes like Dreamsicles. Fantastic. Fantastic. Just a fan of the Dreamsicle flavor. I was pretty excited to find that they had a Monster that was Dreamsicle flavored. Anyway, that is neither here nor there. That is all I've got for today. So, as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.